To Luke's Gospel, if you would, in Luke chapter number 8, the 8th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. If you were reading through this 8th chapter, you would read, in especially in verses 41 and verse 42, you would find that our Lord was approached by a certain ruler, a leader in the synagogue, that told him that his daughter was dying, and who turned out that she passed away during that time. And he told the Lord that he knew that if he would just come to his house, if Jesus would come to his house, that she would live. So Jesus began the journey across the streets of the town of Capernaum and began to journey to his house. And later on, if you continue to read the story, he later raised this man's daughter from the dead. She was dead, and he raised her back to life. And the Bible tells us here that as our Lord was on his way now to this certain house, where this 12-year-old girl had passed away, that his trip was interrupted briefly by a certain woman who turned out to be what I would call a woman of faith. A woman of faith. Ladies, I believe that every woman ought to strive to be a woman of faith. As a matter of fact, I believe that the gentleman probably could learn some lessons from the lady in this passage of Scripture, so that we also could become men of faith as well. I want us to take a look at this little story about this woman of faith and see if there are some things that we could learn from the example that she set as well. One of the things that I noticed about her is the trouble that she experienced. This woman had some trouble in her life. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in verse number 43 about the trouble that she was having. It says, a woman having an issue of blood 12 years. The Bible says, had spent all their living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. The Bible tells us here that she had a medical problem. As a matter of fact, instead of experiencing a regular cycle of bleeding, apparently she had been constantly bleeding, indicating that she had a medical problem. It wasn't something that just started. The Bible tells us here that she had been battling with this problem for 12 years. For 12 years she had been battling with it. It's interesting that while Jesus is on his way, by the way, to raise up from the dead a 12-year-old girl, he paused to deal with a 12-year-old disease. All the while that this little girl that he's going to raise from the dead, all the while that she has been growing up and playing and learning and growing, this woman has been suffering. She's had a problem now for about 12 years. When you read this story in the other Gospels, for example, in Mark's Gospel, you'll find that this woman's problem was incurable in the first century. The Bible says in Mark 5 that she had suffered many things of many physicians, spent all that she had, was nothing bettered, but instead the Bible says she grew worse. Luke indicates that in the verse that we just read, that she had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. And Mark tells us, adds that indeed instead it was getting worse. I'm going to tell you that she had a problem. That is, she had trouble in her life. This woman was in bad shape. She had no help. Listen, she had no help. She had no hope of getting better. There was no medical help available to her at that time period. She had been taken advantage of by the medical community in that day. That is, all of her money was gone. She had spent everything that she had. They had taken advantage of her. Her health was getting worse. Her resources were gone. There was no medical help that was available. You say, Pastor, could it be any worse than that? Yes, it could. Because, see, the trouble that she had was not only medical, but it also became moral. Here's what I mean by that. This woman's medical condition caused her to be considered unclean as far as the Jewish community was concerned. She was considered to be unclean. You can read in the Old Testament in the book of Leviticus in chapter number 15. You can read about the laws that God gave the Jewish people concerning this issue, and she would have been considered unclean. And listen, the fact that she had had this problem for 12 years indicates to us that she had been considered unclean by the Jewish community now for 12 years. Unclean. That means that she was, that if she came in contact with anyone, they also would be considered to be unclean as well. So I want you to think about the trouble she's got in her life. The Bible indicates to us here that she probably had been excluded from the synagogue. If you're unclean, you cannot go to the local Jewish synagogue. You can't gather with the people there. You have to isolate yourself from everyone, because whoever comes in contact with you would also be considered to be unclean as well from this moral or legal standpoint within the Jewish community. community. And so here she is. She's been isolated from her family and her friends. She's been isolated from the religious community. She's been isolated from any kind of a social relationship with other people. You're talking about trouble in your life. Some of you may be here, ladies, and you might think you have trouble. This lady's got trouble. She has trouble in her life. Hope you're beginning to get an idea. I want you to get an idea of the seriousness about how this woman's trouble really was. Listen, it's a problem that cost her everything. I'll say it again. The trouble that she has in her life has cost her everything. She has no medical help. She has no money left. She has no people in her life. She's been, listen, cast away from the synagogue. Her family and her friends are very limited in what the kind of relationship that they can have with her. It looks as though that she is completely destitute of anything or anybody that can help her. She's got real trouble in her life. She is a woman who is desperate. She is a woman who is destitute. Listen to me now. She's only got one thing left. Just one. You say she must have a nickel in her pocket. No, listen to me now. The Bible says she had spent all that she had. You say there must be a doctor somewhere. The Bible says there's nobody in the medical community can help her. Well, then what does she have left? Just one thing. It is called faith. That's all that she has left. Now listen, when you and I have trouble in our life, a lot of times anyway, our story goes something like this. We have our faith plus the medical community, not her. We might say something like this, I have my faith and my family, not her. You might say, well, I have my faith and my church, not her. She can't go to the synagogue. What I'm trying to get you to see is that all of those things that might bring hope to us, she did not have. The only thing that she had was indeed just faith. Not faith in her doctors, not faith in her dollars. Not faith in the religious leaders. No, listen to me now. The only thing that she had was faith in the person of Jesus Christ. And so not only do we see the trouble that she experienced, but let's move on to the trust that she expressed. The Bible tells us in verse number 44, it's interesting, the Bible says that she came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And we'll pause there for just a moment because you know what happened. The Bible says immediately her issue of blood, it stopped. It was over. She was completely cured. I want you to see this woman as she comes up behind our Lord as she touches the hem of his garment. This helpless, this hopeless, and desperate woman believed that the Lord could do something for her. When you see her coming up behind him and touching the hem of her garment, what you are seeing is the expression of her faith. You're seeing what faith does. That is, you're seeing how faith acts. And that is that it reaches out and it touches the hem of our Lord's garment. You see, this woman believed. When I'm talking about faith, I'm talking about what she believed. She believed that the Lord Jesus could do for her what nobody else had been able to do. What the doctors had not been able to do, what her family and what the religious leaders of the day had not been able to do, that the Lord Jesus was able to help her. She had the audacity to believe. Listen, you ought to have that kind of a faith. I mean, an audacious kind of faith. She had the audacity to believe that the Lord could do something that nobody else could do. Let me ask you this question for just a pause. You know, we like commercials. Here's one for you just to think about for a few moments. And that is, do you and I have the kind of faith, the audacious kind of faith that just would believe that God can do more than our doctors can, that God can do more than our politicians can, that God can do more than our family can, that, listen, our Lord can do more than any of that. I mean, that's an audacious faith. I know we want to limit ourselves to what we can see, feel, touch, and pay for. But she believed that she could experience something from the Lord that, listen, nobody else could give her. It is an audacious, radical kind of faith. She knew that the Lord was, by the way, the only one who could meet her need. Now listen to me. You say, Pastor, I feel sorry for her. Oh no, feel sorry for yourself. She's better off than we are. And that is because God has got her to a point in her life that she needs Him. Listen, if you ever get to a point in your life that you need the Lord, you're getting to a good point in your life. If you ever get to a point of desperation, you're getting to a good point if you get to the right person. Amen. I'm talking about our Lord. It's a good point to get to. But listen to me now. I want to share something with you for just a few moments. This woman's radical faith was a faith in, it was more than a would kind of faith. It is more of a could kind of faith. Let me explain what I mean by that. She didn't just believe that he could heal her. You know, we have, you know, a lot of us have that kind of faith, don't we? And that is, God could do it. If he wanted to do it, he could do it. If God wanted to. Well, if God can do anything he wants to, we know that he's God, and he could do it. But see, she believed that he would do it. Not that just he could, but that he would. Somehow she had come to the point of believing that if she could just get to Jesus, that he would. Not just that he could. You see, that's the problem that many of us have, and that is we believe the Lord could heal, and we believe that he could save. We believe that he could do this or that. But listen, real Bible faith, the kind of audacious, radical faith that this woman had, is the kind of faith that brings you to the point not only that he could, but if I could get to him, he would. He would do it. You know, the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, that had this little girl that was dying, and the story surrounding this one that I mentioned a few moments ago, he was kind of like that. He believed that Jesus not only could raise his daughter, but he believed that if Jesus would just go to his house, that he would raise his daughter. It's that kind of faith. And that's why he asked him to come to his house. You see, just the could kind of faith would just walk away and say, well, he could if he wanted to. But the kind of faith that we're talking about is the kind of faith that says, I know he will. He would do it if he just came to my house. And so he invited him to come to his house. Lord, please come to my house. Now the gospel writer says, why don't you come and just touch my daughter? He believed that if Jesus would just come and touch her, not that she could, but she would be healed. Can I say to you that indeed it's true, the reason why that many people have a problem in the area of salvation, that is, there are some folks that know they need to be saved, and they're still not saved. One of the reasons why is because you don't believe. You say, but I do believe. You believe he could, but you don't believe he would. I'll say it again. You believe that he could save because you've heard the testimonies of those who have gotten saved. So you believe he could save you, but you don't believe that he would. That is, you're not to the point that you believe that if you just surrender to him, that he would save you. If God ever brings your heart to the point as a sinner that you know you need to be saved, and if you would just turn to him, he would save you, then you're almost there. Getting beyond the could and getting to the point that you know that he would save you. That he would save you. Maybe other problems you have in your life, other struggles and things going on in your life. You say, Pastor, I sure need God to do something in my life. And some of you mamas are here and you're thinking about some people in your family right now. Boy, I sure know God could do it. But let me tell you something. When faith begins to operate in your heart and you allow him to, God will bring you to the point that you know he will. It's a radical kind of faith. That he can do something in the heart of your child, your grandchild, people in your life, those that you care about. That he can do something that nobody else can do, including the church, the pastor, or anybody else. And that he would. That if you'd pray, that if you'd seek him, that he would do it. And that's what the Bible talks about when it talks about those who pray with faith. That is, if you pray believing that you'll receive. It's the kind of faith that is willing to accept, that is willing to believe that he would. And listen, that's the kind of faith that God works on the inside of us if we will allow him to, if you'll let him do it. This woman was to the point that she knew Jesus could, that he could, but more importantly, that also he would. Not that he just could, but that he would. This is a real radical Bible faith. I like the way Matthew reveals this story in Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 21. There's a verse there that's not found here in Luke's story, version of the story. And here's what it says. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 21, the Bible says, therefore she, that is this woman, she said within herself, here's what she said, here's what she was saying within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I will be whole. She was saying that to herself. that is within her own self, that is within the thoughts of her heart. If you could look into her heart and see what was going on the inside of her, here's what she was saying within herself. If I can just get to Jesus and just touch the hem of His garment, I'll be whole. Not I might be, not that I could be, but I will be whole. I will be whole. I shall be whole. She knew that she would be completely healed. She seems to be convinced that Jesus doesn't even need to touch her. You know, if you read the story surrounding this story, the story of the dead daughter that Jesus raised to life, her dad believed that if Jesus would just come to her house, come to his house and touch his daughter, she would be raised to life. But listen, this woman apparently believed she didn't even have to touch the Lord. The Lord didn't even have to touch her. All she had to do was just touch him. And not even really him. If she could just get close enough to touch the hem of his garment, I mean, that'd be enough. And she believed that. That is indeed what her faith was resting in. You see, why was she thinking that? I mean, what caused her to begin thinking that, you know what? I'm in a terrible shape. I've got all kinds of trouble in my life. I have no help, no hope. I'm hopeless and helpless. And the only one that can help me is the Lord Jesus. And if I can just get to Him and touch the hem of His garment, I will be whole. What made her think that? Listen to me now. I'll tell you what it was. It was faith. That's faith. That's what it is. That is when you become convinced that Jesus not only could, but that He will do what it is that you need to be done in your life. That is what faith is. You say, how does she get to that point? Well, the Bible tells us in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You say, how does God produce that kind of faith in a person's life? Listen, some of you here and you need to encounter Christ in your life. I mean, in a real way. I'm not talking about in a religious way. In a real way. I mean, you need to counter Him in salvation. Some of you here, and you've got a little bit of religion, but you need to be redeemed, saved by the grace of God in a real way. You say, how do I get to that point that I can encounter Christ in a real way? Well, salvation comes by grace through faith. Yeah, that's it, it's faith. I mean, faith is that avenue through which I can receive salvation. Faith is the avenue through which all the blessings of God are going to come into my life. And so how do I get to the point of being able to receive from the Lord what it is that I need? It is by faith. You say, well, how do you get to that point of this kind of faith that this woman had who received this blessing from the Lord in her life and He met the need of her life? Listen, it comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. What I'm saying is this, is if you'll start listening to what God is saying through His Word. If you'll get into this book and if you'll start hearing what God is saying through this book, God will bring you to the point of this kind of audacious faith where you can believe and receive. Listen to me now, this kind of believing is receiving. You say, well, I believe, but I haven't received, then you haven't believed yet. Believing is receiving. It is receiving. This woman had been hearing about Jesus. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. You say, what has she been hearing? She'd been hearing about Jesus. She'd been hearing about what He had been saying. She had been hearing about what He had been doing. She'd probably been hearing about how He touched other people's lives and changed them forever. Blind people are seeing and lame people are walking and demon-possessed people are free. She'd been hearing about that. And because she had been hearing, something was going on in here, on the inside of her, that brought her to the point that she believed that Jesus could and would do for her exactly what she needed. If she could just reach out and just get close enough to touch the hem of His garment. I believe the Holy Spirit operating through the Word had produced that thought of faith. That I believe that if I just come to Jesus, if I just get to Jesus, He'll take care of it. Lost person, would you be so audacious as to believe that? Has God worked in your heart to the point where you believe, listen, if I just turn to Christ, He would save me forever? You say, Pastor, is that it? That's faith. Some of you here and you got trouble in your life and God is just going to let it get worse. I mean, I hope He does anyway. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? I hope it gets so bad that you have to have Him. I mean, that you really need Him, that it gets so bad in your life that you come to Him like this woman did and say, Lord, I'm helpless and I'm hopeless. I got to have You. You're the only one who can help me, and You will. That kind of faith. That's where she was at. I remember how the Holy Spirit brought me to that point in my life with regard to salvation, to the point that I knew. He brought me to the point as a lost person, to the point where I knew. Listen, this is what I knew. I knew that if I would just turn to Christ and cry out to Him, that He would save me. You say, how'd you get to that point? I don't know. God, the Holy Spirit, operating through the Word, brought me to that point as a lost sinner of believing. Of believing. Well, back in Luke chapter number 8, the Bible tells us here in verse number 44 that while Jesus was on His way now to this ruler's house, going to raise His daughter from the dead, this woman comes up from behind Him, apparently unnoticed, and she touched the hem of His garment. Why did she do that? Faith. Faith. She reached out and touched Him because she believed that indeed if she could just touch the hem of His garment, that she could be and would be healed. Now I want you to understand that Luke tells us in verse 42 of this passage that there was a huge crowd of people around the Lord when all of this happened. As Jesus went through the city of Capernaum, there's huge crowds of people pressing in on Him. They were all around Him, pressing in on Him. And here's this woman. Now remember, she's considered unclean. She's not supposed to be in contact with anybody, or they would also be considered unclean. And here she is now. And listen, her faith is so radical that she lays everything on the line. She puts it all on the line. And she presses into that crowd of people. She's in contact with them. She is bumping them. She's rubbing up against them. That is, the people that are around our Lord. And she keeps pressing in. Now I'm going to use my imagination just a little bit. I don't know that this happened, but it could have. It could be that as she was pressing in among that crowd, it could be that there might have been somebody there that might have said, as happened on other occasion, why don't you get back out of the way? I remember when two blind men were crying out to the Lord one day, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. The crowd was saying, you guys get over there and be quiet. Did you imagine if you use your imagination that somebody might have said, woman, listen, I know who you are. You need to get back away from this crowd. But you know what? She kept pressing in. She needed Jesus. There was resistance. There were those who were standing in her way and trying to keep her from Christ. Just like there is in your life. Those that are trying to keep you away and push you away. And the Lord is trying to draw you. And listen to me now. Just keep pressing in. Women of faith, press on in. Until they get close enough to Him that they can reach out and touch Him and experience Him in reality in their life. Whether it be a lost woman that needs to be saved. Listen, if you're here and you're lost, why don't you seek Him with all your heart? And listen to me, if you will, you'll get close enough to Him one of these days. Seek Him with all your heart and you will find Him. But you might be here and you're already saved. You say, Pastor, listen, I need God to do something in my life. I want to be near to Him and close to Him. Then just press on in. Some of you need to keep on praying. You need to keep on seeking. You need to be fasting. You need to be pressing on in until you're there, until you're near to Him, until He draws near to you as you draw near to Him. He can be real in your life. Listen, Jesus doesn't want to be religion. He wants to be real in your life. And if you'll press on in, He will be. Faith keeps pressing in. Because she knows that no matter what that crowd says and no matter who's trying to push her away, she knows that the Lord Jesus loves people like her. That He loves those who are diseased and outcast. Listen to me now. And that He can help her. And she pressed on in anyway. Working her way through the crowd till she got there, close enough to reach out and touch the hem of His garment. Oh, she's unclean. She's not supposed to be touching anybody. But boy, she sure touched Him. So one thing about our Lord, listen, when those who are unclean touch Him, He doesn't become unclean. They become clean. Yeah. There she is, pressing through the crowd. Faith has informed her so that she knows if she gets to Jesus that He'll heal her. That's right. See, faith is not just the content of what we believe. But I tell you, those who believe will respond. James talks about faith and works together. Real faith is faith that works. In other words, those who believe that Christ will save them, you know what they'll do? They'll turn to Christ. Those who don't turn to Christ, they don't believe. You say, but I believe that he could. No. I'm talking about believing that he will. Those who believe that he will would turn to him. Otherwise, they're not believing yet. Whatever it is that God may be trying to do in your life, listen to me now. If you'll just respond to him, come to him, and faith, if it's a real Bible faith, will cause you to respond. It'll cause you to turn to him. It'll cause you to press in to seek him. You say, Pastor, I believe that God could save those who are lost in my family. But if you believe that he would save those who are lost in your family, you'd be seeking in. You'd be pressing in prayer, seeking him in his presence until you know his presence, until you know his power in your life, until that person gets saved. Are you still with me? Talking about pressing in. Talking about what it means to be a woman or indeed a man of faith. Now listen, when she finally got there, when she finally got to Jesus, and she reached out and touched the hem of his garment, everything changed. And she knew it. According to verse number 47, she knew that she had been healed immediately when she touched the hem of his garment. You say, Pastor, how will you know when you get to Jesus? Oh, you'll know. If you ever get to him, everything will change. You will know. You see, folks, here's the truth. When she reached out and touched him, she wasn't just touching him. She was trusting him. I'm going to say that again. She wasn't just touching him. She was trusting him. And it was by faith, because of her faith, that she was made whole. You'll see the trouble that she experienced. She had problems in her life. You'll see the trust that she expressed. There's the touch that she explained in verse 45. Let me just read it to you real quick. Jesus said, that is, as soon as she touched him, she was immediately made whole. And Jesus apparently stopped. And he said, who touched me? And then the Bible says, when all denied Peter and they that were with him, that is, even the crowd said, it wasn't me, Lord. You can imagine just a little bit, that is, that crowd said, not me, Lord, it wasn't me. They all denied it, and Peter and those that were with him, the other disciples, said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou who touched me? Peter, in other words, spoke up and said, now, Lord, how can you tell somebody touched you? You got all these people around you, and they're all kind of, you know, elbowing, bumping, and trying to move in and around you, and you're asking who it is that touched you? I mean, really? You're asking that? And Jesus said in verse 46, somebody has touched me. For I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. In other words, Jesus knew that somebody touched him with faith. And that what they needed, they received from him. The Bible says in verse 47, when the woman saw that she was not hid. Now I kind of like that, don't you? That's right, this woman had been hiding all her life because she's unclean. And all of a sudden she's not hid. I believe the Lord already had his eyes on her, don't you, about this time? As a matter of fact, I believe that the Lord Jesus had already turned his attention to her. I believe when he asked the question, who touched me, it wasn't for information, it was for revelation. That is, he was about to reveal this woman. You say, what's he going to reveal about her? Her faith. That, listen, if you want to receive something from the Lord, you need to become like this woman. I'm talking about this woman that everybody else considered to be unclean and a woman that was hopeless and helpless. You got to become hopeless and helpless and in need of him and believe. Jesus wanted to know who touched him so that the people would see the woman. The woman was no longer hid. And so she came. She came trembling, the Bible says. And she, falling down before him, she declared unto him and before all the people. You see that? For what cause she had touched him. She had to tell everybody why she had touched him. And how that she was healed immediately. In other words, she just tells the story. She tells her testimony. The Lord draws her out of that crowd. Don't you like that? She's hid away in that big crowd of people. And the Lord draws that little lady out of that crowd that had been messed up all of her, all those 12 years. And he draws her out. And listen to me. He says, why don't you tell the folks what happened to you? And she told him the story that we just looked at. How much of a life, her life was a wreck. And she just believed if she could get to Jesus, that he not only could, but would change everything. And then she said, I kept pressing in and pressing in. I got to him. Boy, the moment that I got to him, everything changed. I was healed immediately. Don't you like testimonies like that? Everybody's watching. Everybody's listening in the crowd that day. So that this woman, think about it now. He's on his way to help one of the most elite men in Capernaum, a ruler in the synagogue, his daughter. And he stops to help an unclean woman who's not even allowed in the synagogue. Can I say this to you in passing, another little commercial for you? Jesus is not a respecter of persons. Listen, he's not a respecter of persons, of men over women, of the wealthy over the unwealthy, the religious or the non-religious. He is not a respecter of persons. No matter who you are, what your background is, what's been going on in your life, he loves you, he cares about you, and like this woman, if you'll come to him by faith, if you'll press him by faith until you get to him, he will change you as well. The whole crowd is watching. I mean, they're hearing this woman's story. She's telling it and everybody's listening so that she becomes an example, doesn't she? She stands out now as an example in front of this whole crowd of the truth that the Lord is trying to reveal to them. You say, well, what truth is she an example of? She is an example of the truth about divine comfort. The Lord speaks. She tells her story, and then the Lord speaks to her. And as he's speaking to her, he reveals what she's an example of. She's an example about divine comfort. Jesus said, daughters, be of good comfort. Be of good comfort. I like that, don't you? Especially when I know the kind of woman that she was. I mean, the problems that she had in her life, all the trouble. Listen, her life had been full of trouble. It was all around her. That is, her life had been one that had been just in turmoil all the time. And both medically and morally and socially, her life had just been a mess. And all of a sudden, the Lord says, daughter, be of good comfort. Those are not just passing words. This woman who had been so troubled was now experiencing not just comfort, but divine comfort. Divine comfort. The battle was over. And I tell you, there was comfort on the inside of her. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine the joy that she had on the inside of her? Comforted by his joy and the hope that she had. The hope that she had. She had something to look forward to. She didn't have anything to look forward to before that. But now she does. Now she does. She thought her life was nothing, but now she knows there's something worth living for. Talking to you about divine comfort. And the Lord's saying to this crowd, and that's what he's saying to us, listen, you can have the kind of comfort this woman has. Joy and hope in your life as well. She not only is an example of divine comfort, but she's an example of real faith. And that's what we've been focusing on, because in verse 48, as you'll notice there, Jesus said, daughter, be of good comfort. And then he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Yeah. He says, you're healed. She just got done sharing your testimony. That is, I reached out, touched the hem of his garment, and I'm healed. And Jesus said, you know why you're whole? You know why it is that you're healed? It's because of your faith. It's because you believed. Listen to me now. Here's the truth. You need to get a hold of it. I'm going to be done in just a moment. And that is, listen, every good thing that God has for you, the avenue through which you can receive that is faith. Desperate people can experience whatever you need to experience by faith. Not only is it true of sickness, as in this case, but it's true of salvation. And it's true of God's supply and provision, whatever it is that you need in your life. Let me make one final point. This woman is an example, as Jesus speaks. Not only is she an example of divine comfort, and not only is she an example of real faith, but I tell you that finally, she's an example of true peace. Don't you like the little phrase where verse 48 ends? Jesus says to her, go in peace. Now consider this. Are you ready? Listen, and I'll be done. If you'll listen just another minute or two, I'll be done. Are you ready? I want you to get this. She came with a problem, but she left with peace. And it's all because of that day that she trusted Christ completely, radically, audaciously. When God brings sinners to the point of real faith, there will be real, true peace. Say, Pastor, I need peace. I know the one that can give it to you. His name is Jesus. And the only way to receive it is by faith. By faith. Therefore, Romans 5:1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. You can have peace. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would do your work in our hearts now. And Lord, I pray for those who are here that are lost, that God, you might speak to hearts, you might draw people to yourself. God, I pray, Father, that you might bring individuals to the point of real saving faith, a point of trusting, believing. God, I pray for your people, Lord, that are already saved. God, there are some folks here that need to trust you for some things. God, that need to believe you. God, that need to surrender, yield, and that need to press on in until revival comes in their hearts. God, until you begin to touch somebody's life. God, until you begin to meet a need that's pressing. God, help your people to have the kind of faith that this woman had, a faith that keeps on pressing in until the answer comes. And we'll give you the praise for what you're about to do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's stand together.